and it's been a neat little study for me. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you as it has been for me. I just want us tonight, each one of us tonight, to ask ourselves one question. What does God see in me? The Bible talks about the Lord. He sees us every day, right? He sees us. He knows where we go. He knows what we do. But He sees more than just our actions. I see your actions. That's all I see. But the Lord sees more than that. And we'll see some verses here tonight that the Lord sees into our hearts. We want to look at two things that the Lord sees. You may think two things. There's a lot of scriptures for these two things. On one side, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to kind of tell you where we're going with this. On one side, we have a lost person. What does the Lord see when He looks upon a lost person? And over here, we have, you can guess, a saved person. What does the Lord see when He looks upon a saved person? So, what does God see in me? Let's turn, if you will, starting in Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14. Starting in verse 2. Psalms 14 verse 2 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Verse 2 is what the Lord did. Verse 3 is what He saw. And what I like about these verses, verse 2 says the Lord looked down. As in past tense, He looked. But verse 3, it's not written in the same tense. Verse 3 is written in present tense. Because I believe He doesn't look down just on the people that were on the earth right then. He looked down and saw all mankind and said, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." When God looked down upon man, that's what He saw. He saw that we're a sinful people. We're full of it. We're full of sin all over. Nobody here can raise their hand and say that today... Well, let me rephrase that. How many hands would you need to count your sins today? I have a feeling we'd have to borrow a few, wouldn't we? We're full of sin. Look in Psalms chapter 53... This tells us again, this whole chapter, Psalms 53, is pretty much the same as Psalms 14. But it words things a little different. In verse 2 of Psalms 53, it says, "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He said, He saw, every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Just in case, over in Psalms 14, you thought that it didn't include you. In chapter 53, He says, every one of them. There's no getting away from that. When God looked down on from heaven, He saw that we are sinful people. And that's kind of our starting point tonight. And we want to look and see some things here. But before we go too deep, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. And we thank You for Your Word that You've given to us that we can read, we can study and meditate upon it, Lord. And Lord, that You have made it so to where that Your Word can fill our lives if we allow it to. And Lord, just help us to just give our lives over to You. Help us tonight to worship You, to truly worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, just open up ears, open up hearts. Give understanding, Lord, tonight as You would, as only You can. And Lord, just save those here tonight that are lost. Help us to save that we'll serve You and live for You as we ought to, Lord. Lord, just forgive us of our many sins. Help us to not sin against You. And help us to forgive those who sin against us. Please be with Your word as it goes out, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. As I was studying this, I began to think about some conversations and some things and look back in my life, some things that I said when verses were read. I never thought, truly, when I was lost, I never really thought that I was really in those categories. That the Lord saw me and I was wicked. I mean, I went to school with kids that done a lot worse than me. What? We lived down the road from people that were worse than me. Well, I knew people that, I knew kids my age, well, close to my age, that said they were saved. And I fit in with them just fine. So how could that really be talking about me? So, some of you might be here today thinking, but that's not me. I'm not in that category. You may be having some of the same things. So, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And verse 23. The Bible says here, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That doesn't leave a question. It says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you have ever told a lie, you've fallen short of the glory of God. And you may sit there and try and think, but you know what? Little babies tell lies. Little bitty babies that can't even talk lie. We call it a button. Right? That's what we call it. We joke around about the button. You lay them down and they start crying like they're hurt. They're not hurt. They just want held. You may be sitting here tonight and you may be saying, "I'll be okay because I'm not like those that don't believe in God. I believe in God. I truly believe in God. I know He's real. I know He's there." Okay. You know, some of these are the same things that I used. And these verses, they're the verses the Lord used on me. Look in James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 19. You think you'll be okay because you believe in God. That's what the world's philosophy is. That's what the world says a Christian is, someone that believes in God. Well, according to the world's philosophy, the definition of Christian You'd be surprised who'd be in that category. Because verse 19 of James chapter 2 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So according to the world's definition, Satan's a Christian. The world's definition of Christian is wrong. And if you say, "I believe in God, therefore I'm okay," I can show you the fate of Satan, of the devil, and the lake of fire, and hell. It's already determined. They are going to the lake of fire. That's where they're going. And they believe in God. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're okay. And I'm telling you that because when I was lost, I believed in God. I knew there was a God. I believed in Him. I was raised in church. You may say, "Yes, but I not only believe in God, I come to church and I worship God." Okay. Turn, if you will, to Mark. Mark chapter 5. Remember the story when Christ went across the sea, went to the other side of the sea. In verse 1, Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." That's who saw. In verse 5, or verse 6, he says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off," when this man, with an unclean spirit, saw Jesus afar off, what did he do? He ran and worshipped him. Are you okay because you come to church and you, as the world says, worship him? This man with an unclean spirit worshipped him. Verse 7, he says, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not." He knew who he was. He worshipped him. Look in Luke 8. It's the same story, but it kind of gives a little different view of it, or tells it from a different view. Luke chapter 8, verse 28. We're not going to read the whole thing again. But Luke 8, verse 28. "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Just because you come to church and you sit through the services and you turn to all the Scriptures, you write them all down, you study them, I don't want you to think that's not good. That's good to do. But you can't trust in that. Because this unclean spirit worshiped Christ. Coming to church is a great thing. You need to be here. But don't trust in what you're doing. You may be sitting there and you may be saying, "Well, yes, but I do more than that. I help out." Whenever we lived in Louisiana, one of the jobs that the pastor had was to mow the grass. Do you know who mowed the grass? I did. That was my dad's job that he gave to me. I mowed the grass. Of course, I liked it because I got to drive a lawnmower and move the vehicles. But my thing was, I'm doing something for the church. I'm helping the church. That's something that the Lord can see me doing, right? And then during a meeting there, it was at Louisiana. I don't remember the preacher. I just remember him preaching. Not even when he preached on this verse, but he read this verse. And it blew everything I thought out of the water about me working. And that, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They've worked. They've done things for Christ. They've done things for the church. You may be working in church. You may be helping clean the church. You may be helping whatever way. In a work day, you're up here working. But there's people that stand before Christ and say, have not we done all these things in thy name? But verse 23 is Christ's answer to them. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Does the Lord know you tonight? Everybody here, I would venture, believes in God. Everybody here believes in Christ. Everybody here knows there's a God. Everybody here knows that Christ died on a cross. But the question is, does Christ know you? Does He know you tonight? You know, all these things, the Lord sees all these things. The lost can come to church. The lost can sit there and look like they're worshiping God. And you have a lost person and a saved person sitting there by actions. There's not a lot of difference. But God doesn't look at the actions. God looks inside. God sees our heart. Look in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord doesn't just see the action. He looks past the action and sees the motives. Sees your heart. What is your heart? What does God see in your heart tonight? What does He see? Look in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, and the world's philosophy is follow your heart. The Bible tells us here, it's deceitfully above all, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can really know it? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord looks into your heart. And the Lord sees why you're doing everything you're doing. If you're lost, what does God see in you? What does He see? He sees the sinner that you are. He looks into your heart and He sees the sinner that you are. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. Back, we were just there. I should have told you to hold your place there. Proverbs chapter 21. I have prayed about this verse. A couple times I scratched it out. I was going to scratch it out. Then I left it in there. No, I'm not going to use it. No, I will use it. But I'm going to use it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. It says, a high look and high look and a proud heart. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. I looked up the word plowing to see what that really was saying. The word plowing means to turn the ground over, to plow the field. That's what it means. So I thought, okay, what does wicked mean? So I looked up the word wicked. The word wicked means someone who doesn't trust in God. Believe in God. Doesn't believe in God. Doesn't believe on God. And I pondered on this and I prayed about this verse because it didn't make sense to me. It didn't. And I prayed about this verse and then what it means, and how could that be that the plowing of the wicked is sin? Everything that the lost do is sin? How is that? I don't understand it. And I prayed about it. And I was at work, there again, and I was soldering copper. And the Lord opened my eyes to what this means. Whenever you solder copper, you have to clean the copper, then you put flux on it, it's an acid, and you brush it on there, and then you do the fitting and the pipe, and you put them together, and you get your solder, roll the solder out, and your torch, and you heat it all up, because the flux is attracted to heat. So the flux goes toward the flame, and the solder is attracted to the flux. So it pulls it right in. But what happens after you solder and it gets hot, that copper will turn yucky green if that flux is left on there. So you have to wipe that flux off really good. And you can just solder it and go on, but it looks a whole lot better if when the solder's wet, you take a rag and you wipe that solder. Makes it nice, clean, pretty looking. And you wipe that flux off when it's nice and hot, and that copper will never turn green if you get it all off. And it'll look really nice. Nice and shiny. So that's what we do. I go through a lot of rags. I go through a lot. And what happened was, I was soldering that, and I went to wipe that, and I thought, I didn't get a clean rag. You know what was happening? As I was wiping that joint, the solder was turning a dingy gray, yellowish gray look. Not very pretty, not nice silver. You've seen solder, it's nice and silver color. So I went to a different spot on the rag and I heated it up and I wiped it again, and still that same dingy look. So I was like, I need a new rag. So I just stopped right then, went and got a brand new rag, came back in, and I threw that rag down in my tool bag. I knew better than that. Because anything that rag touches gets that old flux, old dingy stuff all over the tools. And then you pick up your tools, you get it on your hand. It's just a never-ending thing because that rag is dirty. That rag is, you know, eventually that flux will eat holes in that rag. You'll have a holy rag. It'll have holes all in it. So with that in mind, look in Isaiah. That's when I began to see what this verse means. Everywhere that rag went, that yucky rag of mine, you had to throw them away, put them in a box by themselves, put them together with trash, something, get rid of them, because they're just spread all over the place. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, says that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity is like the wind taking us away. Did you hear that part in there that our righteousness are as filthy rags? When I went out to get that clean rag, this verse came to mind. When God looks down from heaven and He sees the good things that the lost are doing, what are they tainted with? They're tainted with sin. Just like that rag messes with everything that I put it on it. You know, that's kind of bad news. But there's good news. It's a not enjoyable to tell that. I called Dad and I asked Dad about that verse. Because you know, in my life I only remember one time when that verse was talked about. Or the plowing of the wicked is sin. And so I was thinking, now wait a minute, I may not want to use that verse if I've only heard it one time. Maybe I don't want to use that verse. But I'm pretty sure that's what that verse is meaning. So I called and talked to Dad about it, and he said, yeah, that's what that verse means. And he told me some other people that had used that verse in times past. But I think anymore we don't want to tell people how lost they really are. We like candy, want to put sugar on everything. And the fact of the matter is, you're here today and you're lost. Everything you do, God sees sin in it. And the reason God sees sin in it is because you're a sinner. But there's hope, because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. So this is what, that's what the Lord sees when He looks down from heaven upon a lost person. He sees their sins, is what He sees. That part I really don't like talking about, because it's uncomfortable. Over here, what does God see when He looks down from heaven upon a saved person? This part, I feel very inadequate to talk about. Because I know I'm saved, but I see my sins. I see them. I'm a sinner, just like you are. The difference is, Lord, save me. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1. Starting verse 4, we need to kind of hurry. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and listen to this, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My sins have been washed away. Not by me. Not by anything that I've done. But by Jesus Christ himself. He washed away my sins in his own blood. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, I know there's a lot of scriptures here, but I would rather the Lord, His Word, speak to you than me. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Starting verse 1 here says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That word purge there, I use that word purge in plumbing. Any pipe trade uses the word purge. Whenever we put a plumbing system in, we have to purge it. We put water mains in, we have to purge them. Basically, you get out all the contaminants, you open it up and just let it run. Get all the contaminants out, all the air out, everything out, but nice, clean water. You purge it of all the other things. And He purged our sins. He did that. Look in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 10. 10, 11, and 12 is what we're going to read here. Verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. For thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." He's talking about sinners there. Christ died on a cross and paid the debt. Paid my debt. He paid your debt. If you're here today and you're lost, He paid for your sins. You just need to trust in Him. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's nothing about me or anybody here that's saved that we can say that's why we were saved. There's nothing about me. There's nothing different between you and me. If you're here today and you're lost, there's no difference between me and you. None whatsoever. In the flesh. The difference is it's Jesus Christ. The difference He made in me, He can make in you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yeah. You may be a sinner here tonight. You may be lost, but hope's not all gone. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. I'm no different, as I said before, but this verse here tells you that I'm no different. Everybody in this church has done things in our past. We have sinned in our past. It talks about here in different things here that were in the church at Corinth. He says, as such were some of you. Look in 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. Now listen to this. From all sin. When the Lord looks down from heaven and He looks upon a saved person, what does He see? He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what He sees. Christ came and died on the cross that you might have salvation. So the question I ask you to ask, each one of us to ask, what does God see in me? If He looked down here upon you right now, what would He see? Would He see the blood of Jesus Christ? Or would He see you open and all your sins? If you answer that He sees you openly, it's not too late. You're still here. You're still breathing. You're still alive. You have opportunity tonight to trust in Him, to believe on Him. You know, when I was lost, they told me to believe, to trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. I would try. And I would try. And I would try. But until I put all my trust in Him, I gave up on me completely. I heard on the radio this morning, a preacher was talking about trust in Christ. And he told a story that I thought was really neat. I put notes down here to help me remember because I thought it was a neat little story. That there was a man a long time ago, he told it like it was true, I don't know if it was true or not, but that he would string a rope across the Niagara Falls and he would walk that tightrope. He would do it, I think he said, every Saturday or something. And people would pay to come watch him walk that tightrope. And when he got finished walking it one Saturday, he told everybody that was there that next week, when we come out, I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across that tightrope. So everybody was talking about it in town, and one guy in town was telling everybody that I believe he can do it. I do. I've seen him walk that tightrope. I've seen him do that. I think he can push that wheelbarrow across that tightrope. He was in a restaurant telling his friends that, not knowing this guy that walked the tightrope was sitting in a restaurant hearing. And he got up and went over to him and said, "Do you really believe I can push that wheelbarrow across that tightrope?" "Yes, I do. I have full confidence that you can do it." "Good. I'm glad to hear that because I need somebody to ride in a wheelbarrow. The guy wouldn't do it. You might believe God could save you, but do you believe He will? You need to believe He will. Don't put some of your trust in Christ. You need to put all your trust in Him. You need to look upon yourself as a sinner. Because that's what you are. A sinner that's bound for hell. And if you don't trust Him, if you don't trust Jesus Christ completely and totally, you could die on the way home tonight. We don't know. There's car accidents all the time. I don't want to scare you, but I want to be real. We don't know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. You need to trust Christ. Trust in Him. What does God see in me? We need to ask ourselves that and pay attention to that a little bit more, I think. Thank you.